Psalm 16, page 549. Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Why don't I pray before we get going? Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can read your word together. Thank you so much that we can learn more about you this morning. And I just pray that my words would be yours, and that you would be encouraging us all this morning in who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I don't know about you, but where do your thoughts go in dark or difficult times? Or from a different angle, where or who do you turn to in your time of need? Maybe we find comfort in our health or wealth. Perhaps the safety and wisdom of friends or family. What should I do? How should I do this? Some would probably turn to more sinister spiritual forces like star signs or tarot card reading. Well, hopefully some here, we may turn to God in supplication, perhaps begging God for help, an immediate answered prayer. Please, God, help me. Certainly nothing wrong with that. We're called to bring all our fears and worries to God in prayer. He wants to hear them. Well, amongst many other psalms of lament, we do see a different approach from David in this psalm. He starts in verse 1 with a one-line plea, the only line in the whole psalm where he requests something from God. Verse 1, keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. We don't know exactly what David was going through at this point, but thinking back to our series in 1 Samuel a couple of years ago, we know he faced many tumultuous times and warranted a request such as this. And in his time of need, he tells us right up front where he finds his refuge, his security. We see where David puts his trust in the face of death. He doesn't mince his words. He puts it right front and center. God is where he finds his safety. God is his refuge. He doesn't find safety in himself, his efforts, or anything else. In David's difficult time, he shows us that security begins when we ask for it and seek it in God. Well, he spends the rest of the psalm praising God for the reasons he finds security in him. And we're going to see that in two main ways. Firstly, David's security is in God, a praise. And David's eternal security in God, a possession. Well, our first point this morning shows that David's security is in God, and he praises him for that. While the first line may have been a request, he grounds the rest of the psalm in who God is. And we see three evidences of this security delighting in the Lord, delighting in the Lord's people and kingdom, and delighting in the Lord's truth. So in this psalm, instead of begging or petitioning line after line for God to help him, get me out of this, he looks to God and all that he is. He grounds it in verse 2, humbling himself, reminding himself that God is Lord. Without God, I have no good thing. So often we turn too quickly to ourselves. I need this. I deserve that. Me, me, me. God, be there for me. But David here shows he has grasped who he is before God. And in his words, acknowledging, apart from you, I have no good thing. More than humbling himself, this shows that everything that is good comes from God. Everything good, everything wonderful, everything perfect, true, just, it comes from God. We don't have enough time to fully dwell on this one verse alone, but couldn't we fill hours and hours pondering on the goodness of God? We see it time and time again, who God is by what he does. Whether Israelites in the Old Testament or the fulfilling of his rescue plan through Jesus in the New, God constantly shows us who he is, his very essence of goodness in what he does. David goes on, if God is good, therefore, we see that he is also David's portion. He is all David needs. Verse 5, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. He's affirming that whether in sorrow or joy, whatever his lot may look like in good times or bad, God is all he needs. You see, no matter what situation we're going through, no matter how deep the pain is, it doesn't negate the character of God. I know it's not necessarily easy to think of God's goodness in the midst of pain, but what about right now? Can you dwell on God's goodness now to remember when you're in the midst? I don't say this lightly because we all know pain. He still finds room. So we all know pain and suffering, but isn't it a challenge that even in David's time of possible death, he still finds room for praising God for his goodness? We've just finished going through the book of Romans, and it's filled with the beauty of God. In our small group towards the end of last term, we spent half an evening looking back through Romans, reminding each other of all the things that we were encouraged by of God, springboarding off Romans 11 in view of God's mercies. Oh, the wonders of God's mercies. I'm sure we could all do with dwelling on those more often. Well, David's security starts with the very one who is nothing but good. His security is in God. But in God's kindness, he also gives us other people and the chance to be part of his kingdom. With God at the center, David then turns his attention to delighting in God's people and God's kingdom. David says in verse 3, I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. And verse 6, the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. Who and what helps keep David going? Not himself, not his efforts or strengths, not even his earthly kingdom, but God's people and the inheritance that is yet to come. They encourage him. They keep him going. Vastly different to those in verse 4 who he won't even take their names on his lips. How many times can we look around us and see that God's people have encouraged us, have pointed us to God in times of need? I've experienced that love and care. I've seen it firsthand in food for parents who have just welcomed a baby, or the bereaved, in lifts to those doctor's appointments, in text messages, phone calls, in seeing honesty at work, integrity in personal life. Those are the things that we can delight in just looking around this congregation this morning. Isn't it great that God gives us others? David isn't there facing things alone. He's got God's people who he delights in. Well, he also delights in God's truth. Verse 4, he refuses devotion to other gods of what they claim to be. Instead, in verse 7, we see that he delights in the Lord's teaching. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. And because of this, his focus is always on God. Verse 8, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. So similarly to the benefit of God's people, he isn't left alone. His wisdom, the knowledge to know what is good, is given by God. And we have that too. And indeed much more in the New Testament. David here knows that God is good. God's people and future inheritance are worthy of delight. And he keeps his eyes fixed on this by trusting in the truths of God. These aren't empty words. This is a man who faced hardship and lived in constant fear of his life. David knew death all too closely. But in the midst of this, he still praised God and found his safety and security in him. For in you I take refuge. He finishes the first part of the psalm in verse 9. Therefore, or in other words, because my security is in God, his people, and his truth, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. Well, secondly, in verses 9 to 11, we see David looking at his eternal security in God. More than feeling security in God himself, David knows his eternal security. Look down with me in verse 9. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. You see, David's security goes beyond what could be misconstrued as positive thoughts and inner contentment. He also knows he will have physical security in the future. At first glance, we might read verse 10 and think David's got some special blessing from God and won't see any physical harm in his life. But we see both in verse 11 and even more clearly in Acts chapter 2 that he is talking way beyond physical security here and now. He's pointing to Jesus' death and resurrection and what that means for him and indeed us as a result. Peter made my job incredibly easy when trying to understand these verses because he himself preached on this passage at Pentecost. Peter in Acts chapter 2 so helpfully unpacks the last verse of Psalm 16 to the Jews of the time. Peter explains that David wasn't talking about himself, but he was prophesying, pointing forward to the one who would experience these things. Peter, in his sermon, is telling the Israelites that Jesus was more than a man. He explains Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. He then uses Psalm 16 to show that David meant what David meant in these verses. In case we're confused, he sets the record straight. I can tell you confidently, Peter says, David died, was buried, and you can see his tomb. So we know then that verse 10 isn't about David. He saw decay. But as Peter says, he, David, was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." Peter finishes this part of the sermon in Acts chapter 2, verse 36. "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." You see, David's prophecy in Psalm 16 points not to his personal, physical safety at that time in the face of death, but instead to the eternal security that was brought about because of Jesus' death and resurrection. David trusted in the promise of future glory. He didn't know what that looked like exactly, but he knew enough here to have confidence. He knew that God would fulfill his promises. He would send the Messiah who would rule as Lord, conquering death and bringing about eternal security for his people. What a truth, what a promise, and what a future we have in Christ. One of the things that stands out to me here is the faith that David had, even though he didn't have all the details. He didn't know the Messiah's name, let alone the intricacies of Jesus' atoning sacrifice. But in his time of danger, possibly even facing death, he still trusted in the promise of future salvation. This psalm has reminded me of the 19th century missionary Hudson Taylor and his wife Maria. She sadly passed away at the age of 33 in 1870 in China, just 3 days after burying her son. It was the same year they buried their 5-year-old. They had known tragedy after tragedy. But on that last day, Maria said to Hudson, as she realized she was passing away, "You know, for 10 years past, there has not been a cloud between me and my Savior. I cannot be sorry to go to him, but it does grieve me to leave you alone at such a time, yet he will be with you and meet all your need." There has not been a cloud. The Taylors had known one devastating storm after another in 1870, and many more before that. And yet Maria could say with her last breaths, "Not one cloud between me and my Savior." She trusted in the promise of salvation, and she knew that God would meet Hudson's every need. The same trust and belief that David had here as he faced his own mortality how many thousand years before. In David's struggle here, he trusted in the certain future of hope, the hope of eternal security with God. Well, as I draw to a close, I started with a couple of questions. Where do your thoughts go in dark or difficult times? Or where or who do you turn to in your time of need? To what extent are we trying to find our security in other things? Comfort, finances, jobs, family, schooling, exam results? David points us upwards to God. He shows us where our safety and security should be. Why chase after other quick fixes or easy answers when they will disappear and not give you the security that only a loving God can provide? God's goodness, his people and kingdom, and his truth are the three things David draws on here to put his security into. And he delights in all of those in this psalm. The first eight verses have been a bit of a challenge to me, not only in my personal prayer life, but also with my kids. I realize the way I've modeled praying to my children is centered around me or us as a family. Thanks for a good day. Help us in this or that, and one that's gained more traction over the years. Please, Lord, grant us a full night's sleep. Now let me reiterate, God wants to hear everything and all we have. He wants our requests. He wants our needs. He wants a relationship with us. Let this not be a discouragement in your prayer life. But this psalm should make us think, where does my prayer begin? And who is at the center? Perhaps our prayer life reflects where our hearts are. This could be a good psalm to come back to when we need reminding of God's goodness. I know this does not detract from the difficulty of the situation, but we do have hope in the darkness. I know that reading this psalm might not make things any easier or fix the situation, but in our times of difficulty, we can still have hope because God is good and we have a secure future in heaven with him. Friends, if you're going through something now, does your heart still know that God is good and we have security in him? In our times of need, in those times of deep pain, or in the face of hardship or challenge, do you remember the character of God and remember the real security of a perfect future hope? These truths haven't changed from David to Jesus to Maria Taylor or to now. God is still good and there is still eternal security with him. Let's keep putting our trust in him. Let me finish with some verses from Romans chapter 8, which we studied last term. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.